Well, as people such as yourselves have heard that I'm moving on to Oxford, quite a few people, including actually some here, have asked me, what am I most looking forward to about the move? And I have to say that the thing I'm most looking forward to about moving to Oxford has nothing to do with the theology course that I'm going to be studying. I mean, I probably should be most looking forward to learning about church history or studying ancient Greek or getting excited about various sort of hermeneutical interpretations of scripture or whatever it is. But actually, that is not the honest answer. To be honest, don't tell the bishop, but to be honest, I cannot tell you a huge amount about the course that I'm going to be studying. But I can tell you a lot, not about the course, but I can tell you a lot about the house where we're going to be living. Because, if I'm honest, that is what I'm most looking forward to about the move. Because the house that we're going to be living in is quite a bit bigger than the flat we're currently in. And it's got a big garden. And as a family, we're very much looking forward to having a bit more space. And in that respect, I've got something in common with the writer of this psalm. Because in Psalm 84, the psalmist is also yearning to be in a better house. The psalm is about how wonderful this house that he's heading to is going to be. But the house for the psalmist is not in North Oxford, but it is in central Jerusalem. This house that he's speaking of is the house of the Lord, the temple. And the psalmist has a long journey, a pilgrimage, to get to the temple. I wonder if you just look at verse 5 and you'll see that. He says in verse 5, he says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage." And the end of the pilgrimage is the temple where the psalmist can finally meet with God. You see, the psalmist had a physical pilgrimage. But we, as New Testament believers, we have a spiritual pilgrimage. Jesus Christ, he is our temple. And one day we will be with Jesus face to face in heaven. At the end of our journey, the end of our pilgrimage here on earth. But right now we are on that pilgrimage. And pilgrimages are exhausting. They're a long, hard slog. We can be tempted to give up the pilgrimage. I mean, maybe one or two here right now are close to actually giving up the Christian life completely. But I'm sure for most of us, if not all of us, there is at least that temptation in the exhaustion, that temptation to just retreat, to give up wholeheartedly serving Jesus Christ. I've got to say, personally, in the exhaustion for me of the last few months when I've been very busy at times, I think I have succumbed to that temptation to retreat, to be less wholehearted for Jesus. In my distinctly average prayer life, in my distinctly lukewarm passion for evangelism, in my distinctly dire displays of patience and kindness and putting other people's needs before my own. In the exhaustion, I've retreated. And so, this psalm is a psalm that I need to hear. And I would guess it is a psalm that actually all of us need to hear. Because this psalm, Psalm 84, tells us what will help us to keep going with Jesus wholeheartedly on our pilgrimage to heaven. And the first thing that helps us to keep going is this: visions. Visions. Now, I'm not ruling out supernatural visions, but that's not what I'm meaning here. Just look, would you, at verse 1, where firstly I'm meaning our vision of God himself. Just look at the start of the psalm. It says there, "How lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God." The psalmist's whole being is crying out for God. Verse 2, it speaks of his flesh, it speaks of his heart, it speaks of his soul. You could say it's his body, his mind, his spirit. Everything in him wants more of the living God. Why is God so amazing to him? Well, because of who God is. Just look, would you, at the final line of verse 3. He says, "O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Then that's who God is. That is the vision of God to have. Powerful, hugely powerful. He says, O Lord Almighty. Powerful and yet deeply personal. My King, my God. Powerful and personal. Our vision of God motivates us to keep going as Christian pilgrims. But so too does our vision of the cross. I wonder if you just look at the whole of verse 3. Look at what he says. He says, even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar, O Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Now, as I heard a talk by the preacher David Jackman, I was helped to see here that there's a parallel going on in verse 3. You see, just as the sparrow and the swallow, just as they find their security in their nest, so the Old Testament believer found his or her security, verse 3 says, in the altar. Now, that's the parallel. What the nest is to the sparrow and swallow, the altar is to the Old Testament believer. And as you know, the altar in the temple is where the sacrifice took place. So the reminder is that what the nest is to the sparrow, security, is what the cross is to the Christian, security. For the cross is the altar where the sacrifice took place. The cross is our security. Now, I wonder if you've ever actually thought of the cross as being like a nest before. But that is what it is. It's what we should rest in. The cross is what we should delight in. The cross is what we should feel safe and secure in. It's why we know we have forgiveness. It's why we know we can have relationship with God because of the once-for-all sacrifice for sin of Jesus dying on that cross. Our vision of God, our vision of the cross, and then our vision of heaven. And look at verse 4, if you would. Verse 4 says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. The psalmist, he's looking to the future in verse 4, and he's longing to be in that temple with God at the end of his pilgrimage. And we too, we should long to be face to face with Jesus at the end of our pilgrimage. Now, those are three amazing visions to motivate us in our pilgrimage. And I hope, as I leave All Souls Midweek, I hope that in some small way that I have given you something of a vision in these three areas. Cotton Mather was a pastor about 300 years ago, and he said this. He said, the chief design and office of the Christian preacher is to restore the throne and dominion of God in the souls of men and women. And that has falteringly been my desire, to restore the throne and dominion of God in the souls of men and women, both for those of us who are Christians and for the many people who have come here who are not yet Christians. And I've got to say, I'm very excited about Tim taking over from me, because I know that this will be his passion too, to speak of God, the cross, and heaven, to continue to speak of these visions which will motivate each one of us to keep going as wholehearted pilgrims. Let's move on to the second big help in keeping going, valleys. Valleys. When I started this job as workplace minister about 5.5 years ago, I've got to say the thing that I was most fearful about, the thing where I felt most out of my depth, was in the pastoral side of things. I'd given various talks and sermons before, but I'd never actually been the pastor of a congregation, let alone two congregations. And the thought of me being the pastor that people would come to talk through and pray through various struggles, if I'm honest, it scared me rigid. I felt totally out of my depth. And to be honest, I still do to a great deal. I mean, over the years, I've had people coming to me with all sorts of issues. Issues at work, like redundancy, or office affairs, or issues of integrity. And issues outside of work, too. Issues such as divorce, or death, or abortion. Huge struggles that all of us can face in life. And in these valley times, these struggles, whatever they may be for each one of us, even at the moment, the challenge is how will we respond to these struggles, to these valleys? Well, have a look, would you, at verse 5. Look at verse 5. It says, "Blessed are those whose strength is in you, who have set their hearts on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca," literally that's the valley of weeping, "they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion." So easy, isn't it, to despair when we face valley times. It's so easy to think, why me, poor me, to be full of self-pity. But each of us, we need to pray that God would help us to turn our struggles into a place of springs. Not in some sort of make-believe way, you know, I'll put a happy Christian grin on when inside my whole heart's falling apart. Not in some sort of grit your teeth and hope kind of way, as though heaven's all you've got to look forward to. Heaven is a great thing to look forward to. But we're also promised God's help for us along the way. I mean, if you look at verse 6, it's the pilgrims that make the valley of weeping a place of springs. That the pilgrims do it, we do it. But it's God who provides the autumn rains to cover it with pools. With our strength in God, that's verse 5, we can go from strength to strength, that's verse 7. And we can do that even in the valley times. And I hope and I pray that this lunchtime service, that it has been and it will continue to be a place where each of you feel you're able to be honest about any struggles that you are facing in life. I pray it will be a place where you feel you can pray with someone, whether that's Tim or Charmaine or whether it's someone else that you know who comes along here on a Thursday lunchtime. Both work and the whole of life, they have their valley moments. And here is a place where we can be ministered to by God. Both in the preaching, but also actually, I mean, in the talking together over lunch, and in the one-to-one chatting and praying. Over the years, quite a few people have actually come up to me from All Souls Midweek and said that they see this place as an oasis to them. An oasis. Now, I hope that All Souls Midweek, it is more than just an oasis for the Christian. I hope it continues to be a place where the not-yet Christian can come to draw the life-giving water of the gospel. But I hope that All Souls Midweek is never less than an oasis for the Christian. An oasis which waters us when we are in these valley times. Keeping going as a Christian pilgrim. It's about visions that motivate us. It's about valleys, the tough times that God can actually use to grow us. And then thirdly and finally, it's about values. I think there seem to be two key values towards the end of the psalm. Firstly, verse 10 tells us that God's presence is best. God's presence is best. Just have a look at verse 10, famous verse. "Better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked." Now back then in Old Testament times, to know God's presence meant being in the house of God, where God dwelt. But now, since Jesus, who is the temple, anybody in Christ, any Christian, knows the presence of God anywhere. There's now no sort of special holy place, no physical temple. And that is a huge encouragement. It means for each one of us that whatever happens in our workplaces is just as much in God's presence as what happens here on a Thursday lunchtime. For each of you, that is the case. What you do in your workplace, it is in God's presence. So God's presence is best. But verse 11 also tells us that God's provision is sufficient. Have a look at the next verse, verse 11, would you? It says, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless." Now, verse 11, it's not saying that the Christian life is easy. I'm sure most of us find the Christian life pretty difficult, particularly, actually, when we're at work and when we're very much in the minority as a Christian. So verse 11 is not saying that the Christian life is always easy, but it does remind us that God provides us with all that we need, including all that we need to keep going as a Christian at work. It says there, no good thing does he withhold. In fact, part of that provision, I hope, is this place, All Souls Midweek, as we look to link our faith to our day-to-day work. I hope that you'll agree that this is a place where we try and be as practical as we can be, where we're not just sort of explaining the Bible just for the sake of more knowledge so we have more knowledge. No. This is a place that seeks the value of trying to connect our faith to our day-to-day work. So keeping going with Jesus in the future. Keeping going wholeheartedly. For me, that will not mean a regular involvement in All Souls Midweek anymore. But for you, as long as you work around here, I hope that it will. Because I have total confidence that this will continue to be a place where through the preaching, you will have visions to motivate you. Because this place, it is a place about Jesus. Now, I have total confidence that through the pastoring, that you will know help in the valley times, those tough times that you may face in life. Because this place, All Souls Midweek, it is about you. And I have total confidence that through the practical side of things, relating the Bible to your day-to-day living and working, that you will have and you will build up values which remind you of God's presence and God's provision in your work. Because this place, it is about your work. That is All Souls Midweek. It's about Jesus. It's about you. And it's about your work. And so as I go, I hope and I pray that each one of us will start out with Jesus if we haven't yet already started out with Jesus. And I hope and pray that each one of us will keep going wholeheartedly with Jesus in the future. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness to us. Father, we thank you for your presence with us, your provision for us. And Father God, I pray, please, would you help each one of us on our pilgrim journey? Lord God, as we look to you, please would you give us the strength we need in the good times and in the valley times too. Father, please, would you help each one of us in whatever the future holds. Please help us to keep going from strength to strength with the Lord Jesus till each one of us appears before you in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray, and for his honor and for his glory. Amen.